The work that the service does. Every customer has several things in common. Most people who buy things want to know the price, how much is going to cost, before they place an order. Similarly, most people want to know when they can have it if they place an order. In most service departments, we fail both of these tests. The quotations that we provide, if and when we provide them, are rarely the same as the invoice, and the completion date that we give to the customer is hardly ever achieved. If we were to measure the success of the service department in satisfying their customers from these two elements, the results would be absolutely terrible. This is one of the reasons why our market share in labor is as low as it is. Customers want consistency, customers want reliability, customers want quality, and customers want a fair price. To satisfy the price being fair and accurate, the service department must create a quotation for all work that it is going to do. We have no hope of providing a quotation of work to be done unless we do a diagnostic inspection. Normally, if the dealership does not do a diagnostic inspection, the service management will still provide a price. They will hedge around, think about it, and provide the customer with an estimate. The customer has come to understand that this estimate is not accurate nor necessarily reflective of the cost of the work to be performed. How does this customer, this dealership, present prices to customers of work to be done before it is not? With the diagnostic inspection, and using job segmentation, with standard job codes, quotations and pricing become very simple things. It is a lookup, just as it is trying to find out availability and price of a part. Does this dealer provide quotations? Are the quotations fixed? What is the variation of actual price to quoted price? How is this handled within the dealer business system? These are important questions that need to be answered through the performance of this review. Labor posting. How is the labor managed in this dealership? Does the dealer business system generate a time card for each job? Does the dealership use technology to post and manage labor? These are important questions that need to be answered during the course of this review. The mechanics in the shop, when they arrived at work, should have the day's work laid out for them in a common location from which the work is assigned. Is that how it is done at this dealership? If it is not, you will need to create a process flow on how the work is managed within the dealership. It is important that labor management and control is done with precision and accuracy. This is important both for the customer in the form of their invoices, but also for the dealership in the form of accurate collection of labor history against specific jobs. This is the foundation of the flat rate system. The flat rate system is the tool that will allow those customer needs of price and time to be satisfied prior to the job being started. This is why the operational review of all elements surrounding work orders is so critical. Parts ordering and returns. Nearly every work order that is required to repair or maintain equipment will require some parts and materials. The technician who is performing the work is the individual that knows what is required. With various levels of training of technicians and varying degrees of technology in place through dealer business systems, the parts ordering and returning process runs a full gamut from almost a manual situation to a fully driven technology solutions where parts are ordered by the technician at the machine. For most dealers involved in the review, we will have the situation that the technician will walk to the parts department, and the technician and an employee in the parts department will together determine what parts are required to complete the repair. This is a case where anything that can be done by one person is better done by two people. This is also totally false. To make matters worse, many times when the technician arrives at the back counter, there are other technicians waiting. A complete and accurate workflow process for parts ordering should be a byproduct of this operations review. Outside purchases. During the course of conducting repairs and maintenance on equipment and components, we use labor and we also use parts sometimes. However, we find that is necessary for us to buy something from someone else in order to be able to complete the work. These types of transactions, these outside purchases, have several different names. Other than outside purchases, probably the most common name for these activities is sublets. These outside purchases take on two forms. One form is strictly parts that need to be purchased, and the remainder, which is appropriate, are things that have labor involved in their creation. I'm a strong believer that each of the operating departments of the dealership should look after their sphere of responsibility. In the case of outside purchases, that means, to me, that the parts department should be the ones that are purchasing the parts that are required by the service department that we do not have. The parts department has all of the procedures, the processes, that history keeping and systems that are required to manage the parts business. These outside purchases should be treated as a part. Many times, the service department will buy the same part many times, in which case the company should have that part in inventory. The company should be able to negotiate a better price from the supplier. The company might even choose a different supplier for price or quality or some other reason. During the course of this review, needs to be determined if outside purchases are items that should be processed by the parts department. If there is labor required in the outside purchase, for instance Magna fluxing a cylinder head, then it is logically a function that should be performed by the service department. Clerically, a purchase order needs to be created, someone needs to determine who the supplier should be, the job request should be performed between the dealer service department and the outside supplier, the size and scope of the job should be determined, the pricing completion date should be accepted, and outside purchase needs to be made. At this juncture, and it is important also to remind ourselves that using an outside purchase process, we do not maintain any sort of history on these purchases. It is for that reason that even if it is performed by the service department, I would like the outside purchase process to be similar to the ones that we employ in the parts system. That way we will maintain history, and at some point, in the future we'll probably have received sufficient demand that would justify carrying that particular item in an inventory. How does this dealership manage the outside purchase from a system point of view? Do they keep history on these items? Do we ever add them into inventory to improve our effectiveness in conducting the repairs? These are important questions that need to be answered by this review. The outside purchase price should be negotiated. I would not expect the dealership to be paying the same price as any other customer in the area. We should be able to negotiate a price based on the dealership's purchasing power that would present us with some form of a lower price than what either our customers or our competitors could receive from the suppliers. Finally, we come to the selling price for the outside purchase. In all standard charges, it is important that we recover all of the costs associated with that which we are consuming by charging for them on a work order. The outside supplies, the outside purchases, are no different. We should recover all of the costs associated with sourcing, purchasing, defining the specifications, receiving the finished good, and processing the invoice and making the payment for the outside purchase. This means that we need to recover all of the costs associated with operating a service department. The cost of operating a service department is equal to the expense percentage of sales for all of the expenses of the service department. The usual standard of expenses to sales for a service department is 40%. What is the expense to sales ratio for this dealership for the service department? If the objective on a standard charge, such as an outside purchase, is to recover the expenses, then the gross profit for the outside purchases should be equal to the expense to sales ratio for the service department in the dealership with whom the review is being conducted. To put it into simple terms, if the expense to sales ratio is 40%, then the markup to be employed upon cost of an outside purchase should average 1.67 times. Work in process management. The work in process at a dealership is normally quite large. It consists of work orders for customers, internal departments, warranty, and other miscellaneous sources. It contains labor, parts, standard charges, outside purchases, travel, and various documents, including the service report. Most dealer business systems contain standard reports that are used to evaluate the effectiveness of service operations by measuring work orders from the date that they were opened to the date that they were closed and invoiced. There are two main measures that can be effectively used to monitor how well work in process is being managed. One of them is the total labor that is on work in process, and the second is the number of days since the last labor was performed on the work order. Each of these two elements can have standards attached to them so that they can be managed and controlled. Sometimes, however, dealerships use the number of work orders as a statistic to determine effectiveness of the service management and/or the total dollar value of work in process, including parts and supplies and standard charges. Using these types of measures might be effective in the right circumstance, but normally leads to management modifying their operational behavior to satisfy the standards that are being put forward. We need to, through discussions and observations, make a determination of how effectively work in process is being managed. Does the work order get closed within 24 hours of the last labor being applied? If it does, then there is very little that we can complain about regarding the management of jobs flow. If the date that the work order is closed varies from the last date of labor, then we need to look at the total labor that is sitting in work in process at any point in time. One of the measures that we have employed successfully in the past is to make a determination of what the average number of hours is on the work order by work order category. In other words, how many hours are there on customer shop jobs? How many hours are there on field customer jobs? How many hours are there on internal shop jobs? How many hours are the error on warranty jobs? And so on. With these statistics, we can determine what the standard should be for how many hours should be in work in process. If, for instance, the average hours on work orders in the shop for customers is 20 hours, then work in process should never contain more than 40 hours of work for customers times the number of work orders that are open. In other words, we can tolerate double the standard work time being in work in process at any point in time. This is just the law of averages. Some jobs will just have been opened with very little labor on them, perhaps just an inspection. Some jobs will be waiting for parts, some jobs will be waiting for customer approval, some jobs will be underway. It will be a mix, in other words, of all progress points of all work orders. A short report needs to be prepared that describes how management looks after work in process. If work in process is not managed properly, it means that there will be a flurry of activity in the last week or several days of a month in closing jobs. This type of deadline work takes and destroys the normal flow of work through a service operation. Work order should be closed all through the month. If the work order closing is sporadic, then the sales reporting against which we would be managing the financial aspects and expense controls of the department is lost. Managing the work in process asset is a critical performance point in service operations. How the dealer performs in this review and what the dealer agrees to do in the joint action plan will go a long way towards improving the customer satisfaction and operational effectiveness of the service department. Pricing. There are many methods to use to establish the pricing of labor for a service department. Typically, a dealer just calls around to the other competing equipment dealers and asks what for their prices. While this method seems to make everybody feel better, it does not do anything sensible to establish a price that will work within the competitive marketplace. The real competitor is the customer mechanic themselves. That means that most customers will understand what all of the different pricing needs are for labor. A more scientific approach to determining the selling price is to use what we have called wage multiples. How does the dealer establish their selling prices? Does the dealership have the labor rates and charges from other competing equipment dealers? We will want to see how closely the dealer's selling price methods will match to the wage multiple approach. This is important in that the gross profit that is delivered to the financial statements for the dealership will be utilized to calculate labor efficiency. The combination of labor quality and labor efficiency are the single most important aspects of managing the service group. This makes the structure that is used at the dealership to establish a selling point absolutely critical. Labor rates should be available for in-shop work according to the degree of difficulty and the skills required for the work. Typically, a dealership establishes one labor rate, which is like peanut butter. We take a series of jobs of varying difficulties and a group of technicians of varying skills and grind everything together and charge one standard rate, as has been covered in service management training. This overprices low-skill work and underprices highly technical work. Does the dealership have variable labor rates according to the skill available and necessary for the job? Another area of concern is overtime. Does the dealership charge the same labor rate if the work that is being done is being paid for had some overtime premium? A typical situation is one where the standard hours of work are one rate and that anything beyond an 8-hour day is paid for at time and one half of the wage and is charged at time and one half of the selling price. The selling price of labor in the shop is different than the selling price of labor in the field. Typically, the skills required of technicians working in the field are higher than those that are required in the shop. Field technicians have to be able to do diagnostic inspections, they have to be able to work with little supervision, and they have to have communication skills that will allow them to interact with the customers properly. Many dealerships will have the same man work in the shop and in the field, which would mean that many of the jobs that are performed by the man in the shop have the cost of labor that is higher than it should be. In the course of this review, we will require a summary of how the dealership determines their labor rates. Flat rating. Flat rating is the subject whose time has come and in many cases whose time came a long time ago. Most customers are demanding a fixed price before the work is started. In some cases, they want a fixed price for labor with parts charge extra, and in other cases they want a fixed price for parts and labor combined. The second item that the customer is demanding is a completion date. Without employing people in the service department with an excessive amount of experience who would be able to provide these quotations and these completion dates to the customer, we must have a system that can manage the times that are required for each repair or maintenance function, as well as storing the parts that are used within each of the jobs. Does the dealership in question use any flat rating at all? If so, what is it that they do and how do they do it? Standard job codes. In order to operate a flat rate system, we must have an approach to the work involved that is consistent from one job to another. This consistency requires that we do work either in the shop or in the field that follows a structure. This structure becomes a standard job code. The structure normally covers a component code, an operation code, and a sequence code. Does the dealer use standard job codes on service work that they do? If they do, what is the makeup of their standard job codes? How do they collect the labor against the standard jobs? Do they collect parts history for each of the standard jobs? If they do either or both of these, how do they do it? Time standards. If the dealer uses a flat rate system with standard job codes, that allows them to develop time standards for each of the items of work that they do. If they do this, flat rating, how have they established time standards? Do they differentiate between the skills of the technicians that are used on various jobs? If they have 15 or 20 jobs on a particular standard job code, how do they arrive at the standard time? Risk premiums. When operating in a flat rate system, satisfying the customer needs for a fixed price, that means that the dealership is bearing all of the risk of a specific job. That being the case, there needs to be a risk premium applied to the standard times that are used within the flat rate system. Does the dealership in this review apply a risk premium? If they apply a risk premium, how do they do it? The risk premium will be influenced by the methods that they use to determine the time standard from Section 2.5.2. As a result of that, the risk premium and the standard job times are interrelated. Please make sure that you understand how the time standards are determined before having any discussions on risk premiums. Labor scheduling. Labor scheduling is one of the most difficult functions in a service department. There is a broad range of tasks to be performed by another broad range of skills of the technical staff. There is also the need to determine the priorities of specific technicians, as they are a finite resource, and the priorities of specific machines, because of the competitive nature of the market, and specific priorities of customers, due to their influence in the market. Most service management has evolved from being a technician to a supervisor to a manager. Rarely has the supervision in a service department received business training. As a result of that, the methods that they use to schedule work in the shop and or in the field is based on what I call pain avoidance. This means that the supervision will operate a schedule based on the influence of either customers and or management rather than on a structured priority system. This causes schedule disruptions. As a result of that, completion dates are rarely, if ever, met. How does the dealership in this review perform scheduling? Do they try and match the skills of the mechanics with the requirements of jobs? Do they operate with different skill levels of technicians? Do they use helpers? How does the helper work within the organization? What we are trying to determine here is the ability of the dealership to deliver a completion date to the customer before the job starts, and then their skills in meeting those delivery dates. The time is now.